Hello everyone, this is Issa Sabusi, and you're listening to The Dekan Show.
Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids, where the concept of the Dekan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to The Dekan Show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
The Dekan.
Welcome to your tribe.
So my name is Issa Sabusi, and I am first and foremost a product designer. That's my passion in life. But I do other things on the side. You know, we all have maybe one main passion, but so many different other things happening that we want to kind of try out every now and then. But yeah, that's what I do. Product design specifically currently on focusing on leather product design. Yeah.
And I've read a bit about you in preparation for our chat today. And obviously you didn't start off as a product designer. That came much later.
Yeah, definitely. Right? Yeah. So I actually studied something completely unrelated to product design. I studied communication.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, after finishing my university, I went into the government sector, started working in comms, and but there was always something in the back of my head about, you know, about design in general. I loved drawing as a kid, but it wasn't fully formalized yet, you know, in my head. I didn't know exactly where I wanted to take this creativity, in what lane. And then I discovered that there is something called product design, and that is not very prevalent here in the UAE or in the region. So that was the first seed, I guess.
That's the first kind of seed into creating Issa.
Yeah. Okay, and walk us through the journey. So from that moment, what was the journey like to get to Therp? Because I don't want to just be like, hey, those guys are product designers.
Right.
There's Therp Studios. I'd like them to get an understanding of this journey.
Yeah, so I love drawing, right? So I used to draw everything. And what I noticed, I was drawing two things, right? I was drawing furniture, pieces of furniture for some reason. And the other thing is I love leather. So I love leather products, and I'd buy a lot of them, spend all of my money there. And
yeah.
I would look at one product, specifically my laptop bag. And I had so many of them, I would look at it and draw it and then draw different iterations of it. And that sounds so kind of like I should have had the aha moment then, but it took me much longer later on of saying, oh, wait, maybe I should actually make this thing that I'm drawing. That's where it started.
That was the birth of Therp Studio.
Yeah, exactly. But I was like, really, so I don't have any business background. So I was kind of scared, honestly, of that. And
of
I
course.
Knew it would take a lot of time, you know, to really delve deeper into that world and make this a business. So I started really with just two products. I wanted to test the waters, basically, and took them to an event, a show, you know, for small entrepreneurs. And, you know, it worked. People were interested.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so just a question about your, like, so is Therp is a studio, right? Before it's not just the line of bags, it's a studio, it's a design studio, correct?
Yes. So it started that way. Then it was specifically just leather products. It was a shop, basically. But now I can expand it into other things where I am actually designing products that are not just leather, and that like half of the products I make are actually for clients, you know, for corporate
clients. Wonderful.
Yeah. So people don't actually get to see, to know that this is their product.
And so just a question about that. What's the ethos of your studio? Like, what is the heart of your brand and your studio?
It is my focus in everything I do is on utility, What I want to make, I am not here to do what Louis Vuitton or Dior is doing. That's honestly not my goal at all. What I want to make are products that are practical first, that are minimal, and that are high quality. And one very important thing is that I want to make things in the UAE. Because we don't have this here, even though it's way more expensive to make things here than in Italy or in India or Pakistan.
So at the end of it, and do you know, you're speaking, you're preaching to the choir, because OT and I really realize that luxury is actually perfect utility. So right. When something functions really well, whether it's our laptop bag or even a phone case or a notebook, those things that we use daily, we feel like luxury is when they're perfectly made, like their functionality is like here, you know? It doesn't really matter what the outside is, right. Though it's nice when the outside looks good. Yeah. But we are function first. That's usually our ethos.
Like it's the comfort of knowing like everything goes in the right place.
Yeah.
And it's like a tailored suit.
Right.
Right? Like luxury is in being able to move very comfortably, being able to, it's what you hope it does, and it does exactly that.
Right And so interestingly, I was looking at your laptop bags, because actually there are many laptop bags, but there are few laptop bags that function well. Most people just want some padding. But when you have people that care very much, like I do, about the design of the bag, tell me about your laptop bag. What makes it like the utility level 1000? You know what I mean? What is it that your bag does?
I mean, it's funny you'd ask about this. The laptop bag is kind of the most important thing to me. I take it with me everywhere. And specifically for the laptop bag, it took me about a year and a half to go from first idea to what we actually recently launched about the product. It's called the Khalifa. And the reason is because I was thinking super deeply into what do I want when I go to my office, what do I want to carry with me? Balance that with like how heavy can it be? How many?
Right.
Because too many features can be too many features, you know? So it was a balance. So it's kind of made specifically for me, but I'm hoping that my use case is everyone else's or most other people. But it does everything. It takes, there is a padded sleeve inside to protect the laptop bag. It can take up, for the laptop itself, it can take up to 16 inches laptops, you know, so it's large enough for that. Yeah. And there are places for papers, there are places for cars, there are places for chargers, which is very important because my biggest gripe.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It is a huge gripe. The moment you put the charger in a laptop bag, the bag becomes bulky.
Yeah.
Did you fix this problem?
I did, yes.
This is a universal problem. This is a universal issue.
And another thing I thought about for the charger, because a lot of the chargers we use right now, the cable is, you can separate the cable from the brick itself. So I was thinking, okay, if the user would need to separate them, not have it attached all the time, how would that work? So right behind where the front pocket where you put the charger, there is a small sleeve behind it, so you can roll up the cable and slide it.
Because it's exactly what, like, this is a huge gripe that I have. And to be honest, I'm so glad that you thought of these simple things, because they do make, in gentlemen's wear, there are very few variations that I believe you guys have fewer SKUs to choose from.
Right.
Just in general, as products, right?
Yeah.
So it makes me happy to feel that there is refinement and thought in the products that you guys have. However, nothing is stopping me from buying your laptop bag right now and actually just using it. Because I noticed that you called the laptop bag Khalifa, right?
Yeah.
Can you explain the naming behind...
Right. Because all the names were after people. I'm like, who are these
who's
people?
Shema?
And why did they get a product named after them?
So how do we get a Dukan bag?
That's really the ultimate goal we're trying to get to.
So there is actually a path towards that. Because how it started is that for the first product, one of the, remember the two products I talked about that I started, experimented with? The, one of them was a wallet and the other one was a handbag, right? And that handbag, what I wanted to do is first to name it after my mother, Shemma. And I, the other thing I wanted to do with this bag is to have, because I love marble, I wanted a piece of marble on it, which whenever I took it to any factory, they'd say, no, that's insane. You can't put marble with leather. Anyways, we did it in the end. But I used to kind of say, let me translate from this from Arabic, but it's Shamma is as soft as leather, as strong as marble. That's kind of like where the inspiration is, because like my mother is a huge kind of influence in my life. She's super, super ambitious. So I really wanted to kind of put that into something that's in the physical realm. Yeah. So oh, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And well done on getting marble on leather.
I mean, that's such a feat, isn't it?
And it's not heavy from what I understood.
No. So the way we did it is that I found this manufacturer. That's the only piece that's actually not in the UAE. I found a manufacturer that could slice marble to 1 millimeter thickness and then add a fiberglass sheet under it to, so it can bend a little bit. And then that is pressed on the leather and with an adhesive that way. So it was complicated, but... yeah,
we still didn't get to how are we going to name a product.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, yeah, to the second part of the question, I was going to deviate, but you're right. We should stay on focus. How do we get a Dukan item named after us?
We it needs to be a person, right?
Okay.
It started with family, but I quickly ran out of names that I think are appropriate to put on a product. So now I'm out of family members. So it was... So I'm using people I know. So we have to be best friends, you guys.
Okay. Okay. So we'll work on that. But I'm throwing Reem out there because Reem is a very... you know, it brings good luck to your business. There's so many Reem businesses in this town. So I'm throwing it out there. Gazelle, Eyes of the Gazelle. You know, do whatever. You're the product designer. Do whatever you want. But I did have a question about manufacturing in the UAE, because it is so rare that we hear that somebody wants to have something manufactured in the UAE. It is a premium decision. It's a decision that you make that will create roadblocks that we know. But I want to ask, how was your journey? I believe in the commitment to do it, but are you still going to is it scalable? Like, is it scalable to manufacture in the UAE?
Right.
I mean, honestly, that was one of the hardest things. And it's a continuous roadblock, to be completely frank, into manufacturing. So it started off by, because not only do you need to find a leather manufacturer or leather factory, you need to find a good one, right? Someone who will be able to take these ideas and make them into a really high quality product. And it's not just the leather. The leather can be the best quality in the world, but if the people making it are not using it correctly, it's not gonna be good. So it was kind of basically two factories at the time in 2016, two factories in the UAE that I could find, and I had to go with one of them. And I mean, kind of economies of scale, because we only have these two factories, it's so much more expensive.
Yes, because they can just pit the price and that's it. They regulated the price amongst them and you have no choice but to go with it.
Yeah, so thankfully we have more factories right now, not by much, but we have. So we're like with Darbam, I am able to diversify the factories that work on this, but it's more about creating this trust with the people in the factory to teach me, especially early on, I also didn't have like experience making leather, to teach me what's the best way to treat this material and what it can and cannot do, but also on me to kind of push the envelope on like kind of the story with the marble and saying, no, this can happen. Let's work really hard on it. So it's been up and down. I do, especially now that I'm expanding, hopefully soon, you'll see something out there expanding outside of leather, it becomes really difficult. And this is where sometimes I need some expertise from outside the country. But for leather, just because it's very well established here, that's where I'm keeping it, you know, keeping it in the UAE. Yeah.
And how has the reception been from your clients or your customers about having leather products made in the UAE? Does it matter to them that it's been, because obviously your design, your function first, so I'm sure it's a functional laptop bag, right, or product, but does it matter to them that it's locally made?
So this is very interesting. Okay, thank you for asking this question. It matters when it's not a woman's handbag. When it's a woman's handbag, this is what I found out, you know, that's why kind of part of the reason why I'm not making more purses and handbags is because there is kind of this association with anything in that category made in the UAE being not on par with, you know, those brands from Italy and from France and elsewhere. So this is still, I'm like slowly chipping at like this perception. For the other stuff, for the very functional, like a notebook sleeve or a laptop bag or a wallet, this hasn't been an issue. And I do feel people's eyes like light up when they know that this product is proudly made in the UAE.
Yeah.
Follow-up question to that. Just out of curiosity, I mean, I don't know if you maybe you don't have the answer to it, but it's just, you know, throwing it out there. And the onus is on us. And by us, I mean like the larger we of those that are producing and creating product in the UAE. What do we need to do to change that perception?
That what you mean needs, the perception of that what is from manufactured in the UAE is not to luxury standard?
Or exactly, it's not like, oh, this was made in Italy versus the France versus the US or whatever. Like, what do we need to do to have this sense of pride on a product that says made in UAE?
I mean, it's from what I've seen so far since late 2016 when I started this, it is all about convincing, communicating, everything you can communicate about this product. And this is why I try to kind of talk and encourage other people to really, you know, join, be a product designer and join this field. It is about also proving by showing, right? So as much as possible, showing, let the product speak for itself and get it to as many people as possible. Slowly, there's this cultural shift that happens with anything in life, especially in our generation. You know, this perception is changing. It is taking longer than I would like it to, but it is happening. And the best we could do, I think, is show and tell. You know,
absolutely, right, and use our purchasing, like our dirham speak, right?
Exactly,
so where we put our money is where there will be more demand.
Right.
So in our case, obviously, I think I agree with what Issa's saying. There is such a huge demand for innovators, for creators, like for people to actually create products, right? If we had to find inventors of our time, most of them are in the tech space. We think of inventors like making an app. No, we need people who make products for our daily lives. Yeah. And so I think that's the first kind of
And that are,
you know,
from
hurdle.
Here, for here,
yes.
Or at least the way I see it is to be able to export the UAE culture abroad.
To the world,
so ideally, you want the people in Italy and France to be buying products coming from here. That's the eventuality of it. You know? Because like the El Mendoos is not accessing, you know, a wider, it's not scaling beyond the Emirati or
Paris
at least
Fashion Week,
the Khaliji, you know, audience.
Yeah.
So we got to find other products that are scalable to the masses, right?
I agree.
That have that appeal.
But I also feel like there is a movement that's happening, because when Issa mentioned this is locally made, I was like, oh, then I want to purchase, because I believe that there is value in, you know, buying local, like at all times, wherever you are in the world.
Yeah,
definitely.
So I'm hoping for that.
Yeah.
And to add to that, there is, I think we, for everyone who calls the UAE home, whether you're a citizen or a resident, we have a point of view. We have a specific point of view. It might not be clear right now to to others, how does that point of view translate into a product? But, you know, with, I think, when I keep saying with our generation, but it's probably happened in every generation, but it is kind of, it's the onus is on us to develop what that means. What's our point of view? To ask ourselves and say, okay, in this field, what am I contributing? What can be done here that cannot be done in Japan, cannot be done in Europe, so on. Yeah.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. And I think it's great that it also now, there previously it was just the businesses doing it themselves, but now they're obviously, there's a government mandate. The concept of over the next 50 years, we're shifting to a maker economy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's going to be a big role and a bigger supporting tool.
Absolutely.
In this space for sure. Okay, so to go back to what you're working on, just out of curiosity as well, because like obviously when it comes to minimalism and functionality with brands, especially something that's premium, a lot of them choose to have an icon or a small logo somewhere that doesn't, you know, take a lot of attention on the product. Whereas Derb, we got a big logo statement on the products. What's the design rationale for that kind of choice? Like, what was the thinking behind that? Because I you rarely see that. So I was very curious about that.
In terms of the brand mark, you mean on the product itself?
Yeah. To have a slightly bigger brand mark than average.
Yeah. That was honestly intentional. Just because of my also background in communication. And, you know, that includes advertising and all of this. Just because it's new. It doesn't have a lot of brand recognition. I had to kind of like scream it a little bit, but I still be sensitive. Or sensible, sorry, about it, until the icon is a Nike, you know?
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. So it is about raising awareness right now and creating that brand recognition.
Exactly.
Because the truth is that, you know, we notice laptop bags.
I
don't say it, but when you see a laptop bag that's unusual, you'll pick it out immediately.
Right.
For the most part, everyone's buying the same ones, those Belkin ones. Like we all know.
Yeah.
We all know which ones they are.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there is room, but beyond that, for local manufactured products that actually say what we're about, because that's the truth of it. Our identity is in the products we use every day. That's the truth of the matter,
no, that's,
right?
That's correct. And it's statement pieces.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
Just like fashion. This piece says who you are. It communicates it as people see you passing by.
And actually, for our English-speaking listeners, what does Derb mean?
So Derb is a word in kind of Emirati dialect that means a person who is noble, well-mannered, speaks well. And I chose it because to me, all of these things kind of say minimal, you know, and it kind of matches the aesthetic.
It does.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Like as an adjective, it's the adjective of the user of your product.
Right.
Is what
so
you
it's not
to say.
Someone that is loud or gaudy or obnoxious. It's someone that's refined.
Yes.
And, you know, so I get that.
That's smart.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Earlier, you kind of hinted at this a little bit. You said you're working on something, other markets. What's the plan? What is the future?
What can you tell us about the future of the studio?
So, yeah. So for a while now, I've been working with corporate clients, right? So these are companies that come to us and say, hey, I want to, you know, create a product or alter one of your products to fit, you know, and for us to give it for VIPs or whatever, or our employees. And that's surprising, even though on paper, it sounds kind of boring, but that surprisingly gave me a lot of freedom to create more than the business can actually take on in terms of a collection that's on the website. And from that, I would get requests to maybe think about other types of materials or just different categories. And I've always wanted to expand out of leather. I just didn't know when was the right time. So what I can say is I am exploring other materials and exploring specifically in homeware as a category, because to me it's very interesting. It allows a lot of freedom, whether that's furniture or some smaller pieces. And hopefully very soon, within maybe the month or next month, we'll be able to announce the first part of that, and there are more to come. I still love leather to death. You know, I'm going to make a lot of leather products. But I'm kind of slowly introducing that and testing the water, because as you probably know, like, every material is so different. Working with any material is so different from working with another material. And the way you treat concrete is different than the way you treat leather, obviously. So it has a huge learning curve. So it's not easy as well, what I learned, to kind of introduce all of these different things that don't belong together, you know? And at the same time, I do have some design ethos that I want to apply to these things. So it's kind of following a similar trajectory to how I started the leather products, where I'm seeing things that I want to change, and I'm making them for myself first, and then hoping that the people will like it.
No, I really like that, man. Honestly, best of luck. We're already big fans from what we've already seen. Might reach out and do a Dukan collection. We don't know.
Let's see.
Yeah, let's see.
You have
my number.
You have Reem.
Exactly.
You have Reem. You have Omar, just as, you know, product name options. For
just
you to
throwing
consider.
It out there.
Just, you know, just something to keep in
listen,
the back of your
they
head.
Both yeah. work. They both work. So.
Right.
And they're never very enough. Easy and uh-huh. and easy to pronounce by all dialects.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And all different nations.
But so, for someone who wants the other names, so where can people find your products? Yeah. Where, like, you mentioned that you did have a little store, like a pop up, or was it a pop-up or was it a store?
So, yeah. So we mainly, the best way to reach us is on darb.ae. That's T-H-A-R-B.
T-H-A-R-B.
.ae. So that's where we have all of our products. We do showcase in other boutiques every now and then. For example, currently our products are in the Louvre Abu Dhabi boutique. And they're in a place called El Boutique in the Youth Hub in Abu Dhabi. It's not just Abu Dhabi. We sometimes have collaborations in Dubai. So that's where people can find it. But everything's kind of in one nice place on the website.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Okay. Wonderful. Definitely. Thank you so much. Keep us updated when everything, you know, sort of starts to take off for the new releases and the new textures and the new products. We're definitely fans and definitely customers. So that's the beginning of that. And onward to our naming.
Onward and upward.
Yes.
One day.
Thank you for your time, Issa. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, my man.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me, and see you later.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.